Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, it's a really important day today.
What is it?
It's Monday, and the Chiefs and the Royals are playing today.
First time in Kansas City history, I hear.
That's what a friend told us.
Yeah. We'll
probably have to fact check that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But hey, great time to be a Kansas Cityan.
That's right.
And the weather's been really great.
As we love to talk about.
I think we're just going to make it a fixture and just talk about it every time now.
Maybe we should.
Just lean in.
Embrace it.
Good.
So we are nearing the end of our stateside.
Yeah.
On the last third of it,
couple
maybe.
Couple months left. Yep.
And it's been really good. We're feeling a lot of restoration, I think, and really thankful for that, especially when I think back to when we first came on our stateside,
mm-hmm.
when we were feeling a lot of fatigue. And something that I noticed, especially in our first month or two back, was really a lack of a desire to engage people mm-hmm. and talk about our wonderful Savior.
Yeah.
And that really discouraged me, but the Lord really helped me through that and made me want to talk about this topic
mm-hmm.
of when we have seasons when evangelism feels hard.
Mm-hmm. And when maybe you feel like that's a long season for you, or
yeah.
if it's always felt hard.
Yeah.
Which is, I would actually say, a fairly common experience.
Yeah.
For most Christians that I've known and been around in my life.
Mm-hmm.
As that evangelism just feels hard, just
yeah.
naturally.
If you want to make someone feel bad, you mm-hmm. ask them how much they've shared the gospel in the
yeah.
last month.
or about their prayer life, right? That's the two ways to make Christians feel shame.
Yes. But I do think it's been a pretty regular source of shame for me because as a missionary, I mean, we are paid to share the gospel and teach people how to share the gospel. So if you're not doing that well, then you can easily feel like a failure.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is some wrong thinking involved in that in terms of sometimes we can tend to get our sense of worth from how much we're sharing the gospel, which isn't biblical thinking. But there is a sense of accountability and integrity we want to have.
We have a stewardship
and
obligation even. Yeah.
So I have wished for years that I was one of those people who just jumped out of bed in the morning, just pumped about sharing the gospel and engaging lost people. And every chance they get, you just find them talking to that cashier or someone off in the corner.
Where are these
and
people anyway?
I don't know. Maybe they're not real, but
I think of some people in our lives who, man, even as we've been out on like vacation, they're just talking to everybody that they can.
Yeah.
About the gospel.
Right.
You know?
I think those are the people that truly have the gift of evangelism that really enjoy it and do it well.
Mm.
But it did make me think, why does evangelism, something that most of us Christians know we should be doing, right? I mean, we talk about it a lot in our sermons and books. We all know we all should be sharing the gospel. But why can it feel so hard so often, both for newbies like new Christians and for people who are in full-time ministry? A lot of pastors and people on church staff share that it's hard for them to find time to share the gospel or to have opportunities or to be just intentional about it. While talking about that can feel like negative, or why not just talk about the joy involved, or it could make us feel shame, I think it's helpful for us to be honest about our feelings so that we can find biblical answers,
yeah.
right? It's mm-hmm. like you have to face the problem before
right.
you can get the solution. And so as I began thinking about it and just thinking about what the Bible has to say about it, I realized it really is inherently hard
yeah.
for a few reasons that we'd like to share.
That's right.
So we're going to go through three biblical reasons that evangelism is hard, with the hope that as we see those, we're also going to be preparing ourselves to overcome those
yeah.
to get the greater reward
mm-hmm.
and to obey Jesus and honor our Savior.
Yeah, and the reward's not just like the Christian approval, but there is a true joy. I think we've all, hopefully have all experienced that as you, if it feels hard in that particular situation for you to open your mouth and share the gospel, hopefully you often find on the other side of it that there is a true experience of joy in the here and now.
Absolutely.
Like, man, I was, God used me in that. I was obedient. And hey, this is actually good news.
That's right. So evangelism is hard because it's uncomfortable. It's sacrificial. and our enemy actively opposes evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncomfortable, it's sacrificial, and our enemy opposes it. So first of all, let's talk about how evangelism is uncomfortable. When you compare it to other tasks and ministries we have in the Christian life, discipleship, for instance, it's not nearly as uncomfortable.
Sure.
You get to schedule your little date for your discipleship partner. You might meet at a coffee shop at a very convenient time, and you are sitting there and you're talking to someone who you know wants to learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
They like you. They think you have stuff that is good to share with them.
Yeah.
And they probably thank you for it.
Mm.
There's very little risk involved.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelism, on the other hand, is very different from that.
Yeah.
You have to step out of your comfort zone. You have to take the risk of talking to someone you normally don't know very well,
mm-hmm.
although many times we're sharing with friends and family.
Yeah.
But there's a risk involved because you don't really know how that person's going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
It's often unplanned or inconvenient. And the New Testament writers warn us, they prepare us that we should expect to be insulted sometimes, even hated for the name of Christ.
Yeah. There's a real spiritual fellowship that we share with other Christians that we lean on when we're doing discipleship, right? And there's a true, on the other hand, there's a true spiritual opposition with unsaved people, even though there may not be, you know, open opposition or animosity as we're talking with them. There's obviously not a like-mindedness. I mean, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the truth, so they can't even see it. And so in a lot of ways, there's a fundamental chord of like, man, this is uncomfortable because these are two opposing worldviews. We're we're coming to life from two very different foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a lot of cases, if you're on the mission field, you're talking with people where there's almost no overlap of worldview, almost nothing that you could say, hey, this is a common place for us to stand.
Mm-hmm.
So for all those reasons, it just can be really uncomfortable because it carries those little elements of confrontation in it, of like, we're on opposing sides here when it comes down to it. About the most basic, most important truths of life, we're on opposing sides. But my goal is to actually bring you to this side.
Good. So along with being uncomfortable, evangelism is sacrificial. While acknowledging we get a lot of joy from it, which we're going to talk about more, the Apostle Paul talks about how he gave up his rights, he gave up his preferences, he became all things to all people, right, in order to save some. And we are called to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to give up our time, our preferences, our emotional energy, that's a pretty big one for me, in order to talk to people, to engage, to share the good news. And most of us have busy, stressful lives, and we often can feel like we have a small margin, either of emotional energy or time to give to engaging people.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, engaging people, period. And then you add to it, the point of the conversation is to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
So I just have noticed, again, in our time back in the States, you know, I think this has been highlighted for me because when we're on the field, we have rhythms that have us out in the harvest, which is awesome. But when you're on stateside, you don't have those. And so you have to really be intentional. I go on a lot of walks around our neighborhood, and I have found myself not wanting to talk to people.
Hmm.
Like at the end of a tiring day, in my mind, like, this is my time, air quotes. And I just want to escape, right? I've been working. I want to escape to my podcast, to my audiobook for just a little bit before I go back home to the busyness and the wonderful but needy people in my home. And I feel like—
Are you including me in that?
Definitely not.
Gosh.
You are only—
Shots fired around
me. Fabulously uplifting me. But we can feel like, oh, I just don't have the energy to talk to a stranger.
For sure. Yeah, I think the sacrifice of that intentionality, taking your time. You know, I think of all the times I've been in a taxi ride, even some Uber rides here, and it's just like you want to zone out, put in the, like you said, podcast or whatever. But then there's just that prompting inside of like, man, this is who you say you are. This is what you say that you're about. And here's this person that's more than likely lost, far from him, doesn't know him. And the more that we've been traveling, the more I've recognized in big cities, Uber drivers are often internationals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have just had so many, there's been opportunities of people sitting in those seats that we could talk to.
Probably most of you sharp listeners could quickly answer, what is the gospel answer to this reality? Mm. When we think about evangelism is uncomfortable, evangelism is sacrificial, what is the answer for us? It is Jesus. Jesus Christ experienced the worst discomfort. He made the greatest sacrifice on the cross to bring us to God. Mm. He is our example, and we are to follow in his steps and be willing to suffer through evangelism in order to bring others to God. First Peter talks about this, that Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh to bring us to God. Mm. That was his goal. We were far away, and he endured suffering to bring us close to God. And Peter tells us he did that as an example for us so that we would follow in his steps mm-hmm. and be willing to suffer. Again, I'm not trying to overdo it. Evangelism is not suffering in the same way that like getting beaten up for the gospel is suffering right. or getting cancer is suffering. Mm-hmm. But it is a small level of suffering when you think about you're doing it sacrificially and when you don't feel like it. And I just don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging that it feels uncomfortable and sacrificial mm-hmm. because it actually puts us in the right position to depend on the Holy Spirit, to empower us, to embolden us, to open our mouths, to say, Lord, I don't feel like it. I want to obey you even when I don't feel like mm-hmm. it. I need you to give me boldness.
Everything
I need you to give me the desire. And there's so many times in our Christian life when we have to do things we don't feel like, mm-hmm. right? Like we all know that.
Yeah.
We know our emotions are real. Our feelings are real. We need to pay attention to them, but they're not reliable. We don't follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And so just in the same way, I get up out of bed and have my quiet time even when I don't feel like it, mm-hmm. because that is a firm habit in my life and I know how essential it is. There's an aspect of learning to share and talk to people and engage them and talk about Jesus, even when we don't feel like it, praying that our emotions will catch up.
And oftentimes, like we talked about, I think that obedience breeds good emotions,
mm-hmm.
that if we do obey, then those things will follow. Like our hearts will come in line with what we know is we're supposed to be doing. And I just want to emphasize as well, you already talked about it, but the Holy Spirit comes in when we recognize and acknowledge the uncomfortability. We acknowledge our own maybe lack of desire or lack of power at that moment, like a sense of powerlessness to bring those things about, that it's not just that Jesus is our example. Jesus is our empowerer,
mm-hmm.
right? He gives us what we need, that we are not just left to ourselves. And so also I want to be careful about not painting too stark a picture of grit your teeth and go and obey. We can always, even in that moment, we can always just say and depend on the Spirit to come and fill us up. And in our expression of need, he answers at that moment and allows us to go out in his power and bless.
Definitely. And I think back on our 19 years on the field, I can definitely see ups and downs just in my own fervor for evangelism. And I remember one time when God really convicted me. It was an unforgettable time. We were probably in our second term. So, you know, that was more than a decade ago. And I had gone to a women's training in another city for women missionaries. And you know, when you come back from trainings, I came home just with this renewed zeal for evangelism, which praise God, right? Mm-hmm. Man, anytime we can get some renewed motivation through a resource or a training, we should, right? If it's lacking, then look for some ways to get some renewed zeal. And soon after that, I was in a coffee shop in our city in South Asia, shared the gospel with the server. But I thought to myself, even since the Lord speaking to me, that Shaney, today you shared the gospel with your server because you felt fired up about evangelism mm-hmm. today. You felt fervent. However, if you had come to this coffee shop a week ago, you probably wouldn't have because you weren't feeling it then,
right?
Doing the air quotes there. And how sad and wrong it is when you put yourself in the lost person's shoes to think, well, On that day, the Christian that he encountered wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
So he didn't get to hear the good news of salvation.
Mm.
But because he encountered a Christian on the day when she was feeling it, he got to hear it.
Yeah.
It was one of those light bulb moments for me when I realized, wow, like people, their access to the gospel is dependent on my mood.
Mm. Ouch.
Which really was convicting. Again, I think this is why we need to be honest about our feelings about evangelism so we can overcome them and obey so that lost people can hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to miss out because of my bad mood.
Yeah.
Or my just laziness or selfishness, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good word. That is exactly right.
Along with evangelism feels uncomfortable, it's often sacrificial. One more reason that it can feel hard is because of the spiritual warfare that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
Satan tells us many lies to keep us from sharing the gospel. He tries to paralyze us with shame. Sometimes he can make us unreasonably dread evangelism, and he can lure us to escape people instead of engaging people.
Yeah.
And for sure, shame has been something that has kept me from being excited about evangelism because I think Satan loves to make believers feel bad about this, but never do anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this paralysis. When the topic of evangelism comes up, like we said at the beginning, many people just immediately feel ashamed, whether they admit it or not. They feel it inside of how little they actually share the gospel. I think for missionaries, people in ministry, we can think things like, man, if people knew how little I've shared the gospel in the last few months, they would think I'm a counterfeit missionary.
Yeah.
Thoughts like that run through our head. And sometimes we can just think like, why even try getting better,
yeah.
right? Like my track record's already so bad. And Satan is happy when we stay stuck in that shame.
Yeah. I think like with so many things in the Christian life, you can just kind of wallow in your own discontent with yourself by listening and agreeing, honestly, to the enemy's voice that says you're just not going to get better at this. This is just how it's been. At the root of that is a lack of faith that comes out as hopelessness. Like, I don't believe that God can truly change this in me. I don't believe that he could work even right now to do this thing that I'm asking him to do. And we can just sit in that and wallow in it and almost agree
miserable.
With our enemy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope, listeners, that you know, what do we do with shame?
Mm.
I hope you know the answer to that very quickly and clearly. What do you do with your shame when you feel it? Because the Bible teaches that Jesus always wants us to take our shame to him. If you don't know that, go back and listen to our episodes on shame, because that's really helpful to be aware when we're feeling shame, because Jesus is always ready to take our shame, to fill us freshly with his Spirit, and to give us, like Philippians 2:13 talks about, to give us both the will and the power to obey. And many times there is sin to confess that's interwoven into that shame.
Sure.
And if that's the case, we need to confess, like, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't cared for lost people. I've been ashamed of the gospel. And so we confess our sin and we give Jesus our shame. We don't hide it from him.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible teaches that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, when I look back on my life, many times a renewal in fervor for the Lord for sharing the gospel has come after low points of me confessing and feeling shame. And to give another personal example, because I love when people tell personal examples. I remember on, I think it was our previous stateside, apparently this is a pattern for me on stateside, but I had gone to take a child to get their haircut at a hair salon. And when they were getting their haircut, I felt the Lord prompting me to share with the hairdresser, but it was this very small little shop. So like everybody in the shop, even those listening would have clearly been, I mean, even those waiting would have been listening to me. And I just felt like, oh, it was going to be all the attention on me. And I didn't. I just sat there.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad about it that I decided the next day to go back to the shop. Mm. I mean, that's like even...
Yeah, I remember that.
That's even more awkward to go to the shop when you don't have a haircut scheduled. But I took a child with me just for a little comfort. And I went back and I just told the lady that I felt like I was supposed to talk to her about the Lord the day before and I hadn't. So I was there to do it. And it went great. We had a great conversation. But that came because of me feeling major guilt and shame. So the Lord uses our low points for his good to pick us up and get us back on track. And of course, I felt super encouraged after doing that. Mm. And I think it was just a way to strengthen my resolve to obey.
Yeah, that's it. I think just that the fruit of obedience, that obedience breeds, like we talked about, it breeds like the positive feelings that we talk about, that Philippians 2, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, that those two are connected, like the will that we want, kind of that desire to do the work, the obedience, that those cycle back on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when we do obey, it actually causes us to want to do it more in the future, even though it may still be difficult. But I do think, just to the point of like the base, very basic truth of reps, like doing it more and more, like disciplining yourself to be out and to do it more and more, that also helps to dull the sense of being uncomfortable and all those things. And it helps us to overcome our enemy by just practicing and planning obedience, almost like I'm going to do this no matter what. And just the reps that you put in really brings more fortitude to that.
Mm-hmm. Another way, along with using shame to discourage us, I think Satan also, you know, we talked about how evangelism is uncomfortable and sacrificial. I think he takes that and he just is like, yes, it is dreadful. And he makes us dread it unreasonably so. It can be uncomfortable, but I would say it's not dreadful, right? Because of the joy that almost always comes through it. But again, to be honest, there are some days when I would rather clean my bathroom than go out for outreach. Satan whispers these lies to us to make us unreasonably dread sharing the gospel as if we had something bad to share with people. And I think we often can subconsciously, we expect our efforts to be totally in vain. We just think like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this, but God would never use my efforts to save anyone. Yeah. I think, again, we have to have truth to combat this lie from the enemy. And a very basic truth is we have good news. We have great news to share about a loving God who died to give us life. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a loving, life-giving message. Yes, people have to admit that they're sinners, but it is for abundant, full, eternal life and forgiveness. It's helpful for us to just remember we have good news of forgiveness and love to share with everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
We also have to remember that we don't share in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Faith comes through hearing the word of Christ, and God is preparing some people's hearts. Every encounter has the potential of being a divine encounter. That really makes me excited.
Yeah.
Like the thought that we don't know what's going to happen. Sure, that can feel uncomfortable, but it also can feel like an adventure. And for us to just remember the Holy Spirit does convict people of their sin. John 16:8. And he does draw people to himself. John 6:44. And he might just use us, right? In
That's
that
right.
moment. And so we can push through that sense of dread by remembering the possibility that God just might work right then and there.
That's right. Like we say when we're doing evangelism training, you never know until you sow.
You never know until you sow.
Boom.
It's so good.
And I think we just convince ourselves that it's so dreadful and that people won't respond. And we have the whole argument. You've probably done this before. Maybe you felt that prompting of the Spirit and you go through the entire argument in your head. I'm going to say this. They're going to say this. I'm going to say this. They're going to say this. It's going to be awkward and that's going to be it, right? It's almost like you think you have the power of prediction to know how these people are going to respond. But you just never know until you sow. You got to open your mouth and say something.
That's right. The last lie that we'll talk about in this episode, although there's many more ways that Satan whispers lies to us, but one that I have noticed since being back is this lie that I will be happier if I escape people than if I engage people. And Side note, if you're feeling that a lot, it could be because you need some renewal and restoration from the Lord. But again, I sometimes believe this lie that engaging people requires too much energy. And I think, oh, I'll be happier if I just keep to myself. If I could just get some me time. And engaging people, it's just draining and it requires so much energy and it's not rewarding. And I just need a break. The truth to combat this lie is that true joy comes through obeying God's commands. You all know that. We all know that. But to remind you, abiding in Christ, loving Christ, obeying Christ, these are all connected, and they all result in fullness of joy, John 15:11. Focusing on myself and my needs, it feels good for a bit, but it can't deliver that same joy that comes from obedience, and particularly the joy of serving others. I do think that when I can get over that hump and share the good news, talk to someone else, many times hear about problems in their life, it serves to renew my thankfulness for the gospel and refreshes me, right? Like the point is for us to refresh others with the love of God, but it ends up refreshing us and rejuvenating our souls very powerfully.
That's right. That's kind of what we struggle with, right? In a nutshell, when it comes to evangelism, is that we often find that it's uncomfortable, it's sacrificial, and that there's an enemy who's opposing us.
So just want to encourage you all to be honest with yourself and with the Lord about how you're doing, how you're feeling about it. Do you feel it that it's uncomfortable? Do you feel like it's sacrificial? Do you feel shame or dread when you think about it? Jesus Christ suffered in order to bring people to God, leaving an example for us that we might follow in his steps. So I pray that your evangelistic efforts will not be dependent upon your mood on any given day. Take any shame you feel to Jesus. Remember that you have good news to share about a wonderful Savior, and remember that God just might use you to bring someone else closer to him, and embrace the adventure of following Jesus, that we can follow his Spirit, we can start conversations with people, and we don't know where they will go. And I think just the way that God created us in his image to connect with other people, I've just found that when I do talk to people and try to share with them about Jesus, even if it doesn't feel like they're really getting the gospel or wanting to believe, that many times, even that just brings joy to me. Just a joy of sharing truth and connecting with people. I hope that you all, this will be an encouragement to you and that you will seek for the deeper joy, the greater joy of getting over that hump of awkwardness and discomfort. And to end, I thought maybe we could share a few practical tips. What would you say for ways to just get back in it? If you if you've fallen off the horse, how do you
besides,
get back on?
You know, listening to this episode over and over again
would
be helpful. The foundation just prayer. I think if you notice these things, if this is even highlighting something for you as you're listening to this, even it is for me as we're talking about it, just to pray specifically for this thing. Pray specifically for, from the Lord, empowerment, encouragement, boldness to share the gospel. That hopefully, if it would be that God would use a sense of kind of desperation, even as you recognize maybe how dry you've become when it comes to evangelism, that the Lord would just use that to say, God, I'm ready to do whatever. I'm ready to put it on the table and I need you to do it. I need you to show up because I obviously see that I lack the energy or the courage or whatever it is. And the Lord honors our weakness, right? His power is made perfect in our weakness. And so we can boast even in our weaknesses so that his power would rest on us. That's what we need, just to be praying consistently for that.
As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about praying for a burden for the lost and a passion for the gospel, both of those, because a burden for the lost, we need that. We need to care about lost people. We need to think about what it would be like to be lost, to remember that. There should be a sense of a burden there, but then, you know, burdens are hard to carry around. They're not really fun. Along with the burden, we need to pray for a passion for the good news, because passion is exciting. Man, I want to share this because I know it's good. And so when we have both of those, that's a good place to be.
Yeah, Yeah, no doubt. Good.
I think a really simple way to take an action step is to prayer walk your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the number one way that I've been trying to engage people, is just walking around my neighborhood, praying for the houses around me, praying for the people I see. If I'm walking and I see a person kind of way down the street that I'm eventually probably going to pass, just beginning to pray and think about how I can engage them, doing the care through prayer that we've used a lot on the field. I'm praying for our neighborhood. How are you doing? Doing okay? Is there any way I can pray for you? And it's so simple.
Yeah.
And not everybody wants prayer.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Sure.
Some people really do. Some people are really lonely. So that would be my encouragement for you all. If you're not doing that, begin by praying for your neighborhood and just look for ways to talk to people and connect with them about Jesus.
Yeah. I think another thing is just be ready with what you're going to say. Think through some very simple like transitions into gospel, and then also familiarize yourself with a simple like gospel sharing tool. We talk about this a lot when we train on evangelism and when we try to go take people out to model evangelism, that, you know, a lot of people will sort of default to kind of a spiritual conversation, which usually means like you kind of broached some of the awkward spiritualness. Maybe you said, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you didn't get the actual like message across. So a couple of those things I'd say, like, take some time to sharpen up the way that you take a conversation and direct it to the gospel, like some simple transitions, even in your introduction of yourself. Like, you could talk about your church that you go to on Sunday, or you could just bring up something like that that transitions into the gospel, but also just kind of ready yourself for sometimes the awkward, like, right turn into gospel truth if the conversation's not necessarily going that way. To be able to say things like, you know what, there's nothing more important to me in my life, nothing been more transformative for me than my relationship with Jesus. And to go through a simple, we talk about a three-step personal testimony that you can share, then a very simple gospel that you can get across to people as well.
Yeah.
So just practice. Be ready for that.
I remember someone gave us great advice many, many years ago, that when you're meeting people, put yourself in the Jesus box as quickly as possible. Mm. And I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
I know for me, if I'm going to have a 5-minute conversation with anyone, whether it's in a doctor's office or a neighbor, it's going to come up. I have to end up saying that I live in South Asia, right? Like, I can't talk about anything without saying that. And so knowing I'm going to say we are missionaries in South Asia, that's the opportunity right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that I've been trying to say on this stateside is that I have the privilege of telling people who don't know that they have a creator who loves them.
Yeah.
And that way it just helps people know a little bit, what do I actually mean when I say missionary?
Yeah.
It's just a sentence. It's not the gospel, but it just, if that person wants to talk more about the Lord, I've just opened up that door.
Yeah. I think along with the planning, another point would just be to think about rhythms, or I think you just have to be intentional about planning time to be out. We are so, especially here in the States, people are just so busy. If you really want to do evangelism, yes, you have to be praying for opportunities as they come, but I think you really have to plan for being out. And I would say alongside of that, find some community in doing that. Plan together with other people. Even if it's just one other person, maybe that lives in your neighborhood, that's a part of your church, you can go out together prayer walking. That accountability, that mutual encouragement, that's just so necessary. There's a reason why Jesus sent out his disciples 2 by 2. And I think if you can plan in community to be out on mission together, that's just a big, big thing.
Good. What do you do when you miss the opportunity? What do you do when you thought about sharing, but you didn't?
Wallow in your guilt.
You chickened out.
Beat yourself up. That's a
Well, along with taking your shame to the Lord and confessing your sin, pray for that person.
Yeah.
That is something that I think trains our hearts to remember the ultimate goal is for that person to be saved. And if it wasn't through me sharing the gospel, God, I want that person to be saved. I pray that you would bring someone else into their life, or you would give me another chance, because it reminds us it's not about us, ultimately. It's about lost people hearing the good news. So even if you don't share with them, pray for them. Pray for them to hear the gospel and be saved.
Good stuff. Folks, we do our hope and our prayer for you as well, is that you would be encouraged to just take up this gospel ministry and to ask the Lord for all the help that you need and to trust that he'll provide it for you. Because, man, great things happen when we just open our mouths in simple obedience. Amazing testimonies can start in the lives of the people that we know and love if we would just be simply obedient to what God calls us to do, because we do have good news and mm-hmm. it's changed our lives. Mm-hmm. It's altered our eternities, and it can do that for the people that you know and love or just the people that you meet while you're out.
Yeah. In 1 Peter, Peter says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you will be blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I think there is a special promise, this special blessing that we receive when we're insulted for the name of Christ, that God, His Spirit just rushes on us. And man, I want to experience that more and more.
That's right.
Right?
Just make sure you're getting insulted for the name of Christ, not for being a weirdo.
Okay? That's true.
Right?
Yes.
Let's do that. Get the blessing.
All right. Thanks, friends.